What's good? What's good? We are back. Another episode of the Paul Pinker Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Normally, I'm taking you into the world of bare knuckle fighting, but we're going to step out of that world for a second, and we're going to go into the MMA world. We're going to bring on an amateur MMA fighter out of Sunrise, Florida, the one and only Warren the Punisher Panasco. Let's bring him in.
Hello, everybody.
What's good? How you doing, Warren?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Appreciate you reaching out, man. Normally, I do a lot of bare-knuckle fights, but I'm not really obligated to any organization or any one sport, so I'm kind of glad you reached out.
You'll see me soon in bare-knuckle. Nate always messaged me and asked me, when am I going to go in and do the tryouts? I did the tryouts before, but I had no experience. I had the two MMA fights, but I went in there with just pure street fighting knowledge, no actual martial art knowledge. But I've been training for about like 6 months now at Rock MMA. I've had three boxing matches. Well, two official. One was an exhibition. The first one, me and the guy, he beat me by 1 point. I rematched him, got a third round TKO in the second match we had. And then the third guy I tied with.
So, okay, know. That's what's up. Now, how long you been at this fight game?
So probably like on and off for like 3 years, because I tore my labrum in 2022. So I didn't like do anything for like 6-7 months. Didn't even go to the actual gym, just did physical therapy. Then I was actually training at MMA Masters when that happened, and I realized after that they just kept messaging me, like they knew I tore my labrum, and I told them I brought a doctor's note and everything that I couldn't, like they needed to pause my payments. They still tried to charge me payments. That's how I knew they weren't the place for me. Be like, I can't actually train, and I brought you a doctor's note, but you guys are still trying to charge me. So I was training at Rock MMA because I did a few free classes with them because I knew a few people there. So I was on and off going there like twice, like two or three times a week. And now I've just been there full time.
Now, you did boxing and MMA. For people that don't know the difference, what's all the different things that you're allowed to do in MMA?
MMA, so amateur MMA, you can do everything but knee them. You can do elbows if you guys each have more than three fights and you mutually agree on it, but they make you wear elbow pads.
Okay.
So it's about, and it's just less around, it's not 5 minute rounds, it's 3 minute rounds. But it's everything else. Like, I know some organizations, they don't allow leg locks, but some do. So it all depends. It's like you're basically allowed to do the same things as pros, except the elbows and knees, and then leg locks. They want people to actually be able to continue a career and not get a leg snapped in an amateur fight.
So that happens a lot in the fights with the leg locks, that the leg snaps?
Yeah, my actual last fight where I got the TKO, there was two guys who, one was from A&M and one, I forgot where the other one was from. The corner of the other guy yelled, snap his fucking leg. And I was sitting there, oh my God, these are amateurs, sir. Your guy's a blue belt. What are you trying to do? But yeah, I was just like, that's why, like, don't get me wrong, I like jiu-jitsu, but I hate it too. I say it is like the deadliest form. Like, don't get me wrong, you kill somebody by knocking them out, but you can snap somebody's head real easy, break a leg, then go for whatever else you want to do. It's like, so you're like, yeah, jiu-jitsu, I say, is the deadliest one, because they actually, like, you want to be sneaky about it. You could just eliminate your person by breaking their legs, because they ain't gonna get up after that.
Now, a lot of these bare knuckle guys be saying that bare knuckle is the toughest sport. What do you think? You think MMA is the toughest sport?
So I'll say toughest to learn everything wise. Now, getting the physical, it's different because you're getting hit with. I'm a street fighter. I know you know Howie Davis. You've done a few. I trained with him before. It's different because, you know, getting hit with a knee to the face versus getting hit with a bare knuckle. It's like, I'd rather get hit with a bare knuckle than a knee to the face.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you have somebody who has fast, powerful hand. Like if you're fighting, what's his name? What's buddy's name? Who's like the 125 pound champion who used to be in the UFC? Johnson or Dobson, something.
John Dodson.
Now, if you got fast fucking hands like that, I wouldn't want to fight you, Baron.
Yeah.
Give me somebody in MMA, I'll take the knee. But like, if you have like a regular Joe Schmo, I'll fight them bare knuckle than taking a knee. It just honestly depends on the person. Me, I'd rather get hit with knuckles, because when I get hit in the face, it actually makes me angrier and I come at you more. But you know, you hit somebody with a knee, yeah, it's gonna make them angry, but you got the chance it also might daze you, put you in La La Land.
Okay. So when you're doing amateur, how much do you know about your opponents, man?
So it depends. Like most of the, like everybody I've noticed, everybody who tries to fight me, they already have experience. They think it's going to be an easy fight, but then they learn that it's not. So, you know, I study the tape. So like, the last guy that I was supposed to fight, who actually backed out of a fight for me.
I saw that for the 31st, right?
Yeah. Not for the 31st. This was actually it was a month ago. He backed out. He's on my Instagram page, the guy who said, I hope you show up so I could cave your face in. And he called the promoter 2 hours later, said he didn't come in. He blocked me on Instagram. I have a backup Instagram in case like fighters block me so I can't like see their stuff, what they're doing and all that. I went on his account. This motherfucker was at an NXT WWE event. So you didn't go to a fight to go to a WWE event.
Wait, so he backed out of a real fight to go to watch some fake fights?
Yes, sir. So that tells me how much of a man you truly are. And his name is Anthony Wise. Be like, you still on there? You still a bitch? And I still know I'll smoke you.
That's crazy. So you've had a couple people back out of these last matches. Why'd the other guy back out?
He got injured. We both fought on the same card, Spar War. And, you know, I saw his fight. I didn't think he got injured. He gassed out. I think, you know, I don't know what happened to his body, but he let me know. But it's fine because, you know, like 2 weeks, like it was like a week and a half ago, I got plantar fasciitis, and sometimes it comes back, but this time it came back really bad. So, like, it's actually just started calming down. Like, it's like a 4 out of 10 out of a pain level. So, it's like I haven't actually been able to train. So, it's like, It's a win and loss. Be like, yeah, I wanted to fight because I already watched him. I saw stuff he did. I knew what I could do, even though I couldn't train right now. I already was thinking like blah blah blah, like doing the shadow boxing, what he would do, how I could do stuff. But you know, we're rescheduling that for I believe he said it's in October 20 something. We're rescheduling it, so it's gonna happen again.
Now is that for the 305 fights too?
No. That one's going to be for real cage fighting.
Okay.
Those are all the boxing matches so far have been for real cage fighting.
Okay. So that one's going to be a boxer. So you're doing boxing matches and MMA matches back and forth?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to see. I might fight for 305 Sports in November. I'm trying to get a rematch for one of the MMA matches I did for them.
Uh-huh.
Trying to get it for kickboxing because, you know, I'm still not stepping back into MMA right away, but I want to do everything. Like, I took a jiu-jitsu match 2 months ago, so it's like I'm trying to do everything but slowly go back into MMA. So, you know, I'm trying to challenge him again, but in kickboxing, because he did a boxing match like 2 months ago, so let's see if he'll do kickboxing.
Now, do you get paid for these amateur matches, or is this more to try to get your name out there and get your foot through the door to the professional level?
So if I could sell tickets and they let me get parts of it, but legally they're not allowed to pay amateurs unless they fly you out. Then they got to pay you a certain, like, I think it's 250 is all they can pay you. And then they give you a perks, you know, but whatever you know how it is with promotions, they be paying people underneath the table.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of politics in the fight game, man, across the board. It doesn't matter what sport, what promotion. I hear a lot of politics going on with these fights. I just feel
like amateurs, it's like, okay, we're not pros. Yeah. Don't pay $1,000, but we're still putting our bodies on the line. Some people, like the last fight I just fought 2 weeks ago, buddy got knocked clean out with a kick to the dome and went straight down. It'd be like, bro. And he's walking away with nothing. It should be like at least $100. Or if you lose, you get 50. You win, you get 2. Something. Be like, come on. But, you know, I'm just me.
You know what? I think you kind of pinpoint, though, of why y'all fighters love to fight so much. Because, you know, I also do the music podcast. And rappers, man, they could start rapping last week and think they should already get paid.
Yeah.
But you talking about fighters going through a fight. Damn near, you know, could possibly, like you said, you could break a leg, your whole career could be over in one match and not even get paid, man. I mean, that's gotta be love for what you do right there.
I've never told anybody this. I've only told a few people. So I actually, the labor of my tour, I had previously tore that before because I did, you heard of Pillow Fighting Championships?
No, what, the Pillow Fighting Championship, that thing?
You know, it's a real thing. Like, so I did it. I got a standing 10 count against the guy. But I woke up the next day and my shoulder was hurting bad. Went to the hospital. They said that they can't see anything with the x-rays, but they sent me to a orthopedic surgeon. He got an MRI ordered and told me I partially tore my labrum and tore my bicep.
And that was from slinging like pillows and stuff?
Yeah, 8-pound pillows.
Oh, so the 8-pound, okay, that's a nice size pillow.
See, that's why people be like, oh, you gotta fight with, I'll be like, bro, first of all, they get $250 if you win.
Yeah. Fight
pillow. Second, it's got like, it's coverage for you. It's gonna make you get people to know who you are because they've got like, I think it's like 250,000 followers on Instagram or something.
That's
like
crazy.
That. So it's like, yeah, pillow fighting, even though people be like, yeah, like it's pretty freaking famous. And it's got actual UFC fight, former UFC
fight. And it sounds fun.
It is. Bro, I'm not going to lie to you. It's like bringing out that inner kid. And, you know, you can kill someone without knowing you're going to kill someone. Like, I literally, like, if you, I'll post the story so you can see it later on my story. But you see me just, wow. And then I do a spinning backhand and I hit him with it. It's just like brings out like back when if you had a brother or a sister and y'all used to beat the crap out of each other with pillows.
And how good would it be to announce world pillow champion, pillow fighting champion?
I try to get to fight the dude for the title, but I swear to God, they were protecting the dude. I swear, I don't care what
that this sounds is. Sounds like the fight game.
Bro, I'm just like, yo. Y'all scared I'm a dethrone your guy after my second fight? I wasn't scared. No, I'm like, bro, I walked like I didn't do none of the – I just blocked, boom. I'm one of those people who walked like straight through the fire. I'm not one of those who run away.
So you got 2 straight losses, man. I always got to ask guys this. I mean, how do y'all deal with the losses? I see guys that just – they always just lose and they still fighting.
Well, you see, you know, that – the 2 losses were in MMA, so that's why that's why I took a step away from it. Then I had the loss in boxing, but literally the whole crowd, the promoter, the guy in the ring, you know, the guy who says the winner, he goes literally in the ring. I thought you won the match. the doctors thought I won the match. Literally, I was doing push-ups to show him I was fine, while the other guy. And he only beat me by 1 point, but I think it was that they gave him the point because he came all the way down from Fort Haven or something like that. And I'm like, I took the fight on 5 hours notice without having any, like, I wasn't even training for a fight, none of that. I was just literally, I had got off work. They called me, it was like 12:30, and they're like, hey, we have this guy. The guy backed out. He's not coming. And I've had it happen to me twice. So I was like, let me just step in there. I'm like, sure. Fought the dude on 5 hours notice. I feel like I won. I had like most of the clips you see of the watch the whole video. He's like, and everybody, literally, after I'm going to smoke a a blunt with my boys, my corner, and there's people who's walking, and they're like, bro, I'm pissed off for you. You should be mad you won. I go, it was just an exhibition. It's fine. And they go, no, you should be pissed off. So I was just like, I went in there. I'm like, hey, you want to do a rematch? And he's like, sure, I'll get you. Since you fought me, I'll give you a rematch. Fought him, and I told the guy I had an interview with on the Millions that I told him I was going to get a TKO in the second or third round, and within the first 30 seconds of the third round, I got the TKO.
Now, what do you think is your greatest strength as a fighter?
I don't give up. I'm not the MMA matches, there was something in me that made me go, okay, you got to be better than this. This is going to be online forever. Everybody's going to know you have two losses. So it pushed me, and I actually trained more. It's like I was more dedicated and focused. So it was like I didn't want to lose no more. And it's like I want to provide a better life for my family. Like I'm a single dad, and then my dad takes care of my grandpa, who he just got diagnosed with cancer. And we have, like, he's got Alzheimer's too. So it's a double fuck you, excuse my language, but it's like I want to make a better life so my dad don't have to worry and we can take care of him and my kid can be good. You know, it's a screwed up world we're living in now. So
it is. Everybody been talking about that, and I noticed the fighters get very, very involved in the politics.
It's just don't get me wrong, like I don't care for Trump, but the world was not the world, but everything was better when Trump was president.
People, I agree.
Like people even on food stamps, when they would get their food stamps, it would be like $300 or $400. I know people now who are only getting $150 and they got a kid. It'd be like, hell. Be like, it don't make no sense.
Yeah, and when your pockets are thin, nobody cares about, you know, who's blaming who. We just need our pockets to get thicker.
Dude, that's why I'm like, Biden ain't been doing nothing. Like, I don't care what anybody says. He ain't been doing crap for nobody but Ukraine, giving our money to them.
He should have been in the first place because he was clearly too old and too incompetent. People basically, we're at a point now where people just vote based off of hate for the other guy. They don't, you know, care about the policies or anything of that nature. Like, this idea that a president's supposed to be a nice guy is so bogus to me anyways. We need tough guys in office.
See, like when Trump pulled what's Russia president Putin pulled him in like that, I was just like, that's my president. I like that.
This guy went to North Korea with minimal security.
Yeah, I'm like, he's the only president to cross over by himself.
That's a tough guy. We don't need a nice guy. This idea that Barack Obama was a nice guy and any other president was a nice guy. These guys bomb freaking towns with innocent people in it. But back to the fighting some. What's the ultimate goal? Like, so you're doing boxing, you're doing MMA. Which one of these are you trying to go pro in the most?
I want to go in pro in both of them. Yeah, I'm trying to get I have family in Italy who's got our last name famous somewhat.
I thought that was an Italian name. Yeah.
They're if you look up the Panascos, there's a team up there. The racers, they've won championships. I'm trying to get our name more into the fighting game and get it out there. So, you know, I'm trying to go pro in everything. Boxing, MMA, bare knuckle. Even I'll do karate combat.
Okay. Most of these organizations allow you to do all this without any problem?
What I've heard is if you have a good manager like Howard Davis, he can do boxing and he can do bare knuckle. Pretty sure he could do something else too.
Yeah, but I do know this much. Bare knuckle doesn't like you to leave and get beat.
Yeah.
They don't like, if you're going to go do something else, they don't want you to get beat because they think that kind of, I guess it reflects on bare knuckle, which I don't think it, to me it shouldn't, because they're two different sports to me.
Exactly. It's like if I'm bare knuckle and I go do MMA and I lose in MMA, what the fuck does it matter to you? We only stand up and box in your
shit. Yeah.
I'm getting kicked, thrown on the ground in another shit. It has nothing to do
with elbows, knees, everything. Yeah.
be like, it had nothing to do. So that's literally one thing. I'm one of those people who I don't hold my mouth. So if they would be like, oh, you can't, I'll be like, okay, well, then I just won't sign. I actually know people who, I'm not going to say names, but when they fought for the Prospect Series, they were going to fight for another amateur promotion that was boxing, but they said they weren't allowed, they can't do it. We're amateurs. We can do whatever the hell. It don't matter that it's BKFC. It's like, bro, we are amateurs. We can do any sport. It's like, I'm not signing. Are you paying me to not go and do anything else? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, like, how you that's where the politics comes in. And have you dealt with the politics at all, like on some of your fights?
So only with not with the actual promotions, just within my team. They I was signed to a boxing slaughterhouse. I was with them, and they didn't want me taking MMA matches, but it was like, it's amateur, and you guys are something different. I'm training at another place for the amateur MMA stuff. So it was like totally different, but it was like the same thing. It's like, I guess, you know, your management also don't want you to be doing crap. So that's why I was just like, I do everything on my own.
I normally don't ask questions about diets and nutrition, but every now and then I do. Like, what's your typical diet and nutrition like for an MMA fighter?
See, I'm not like everybody else.
Yeah, I could tell. You said you smoke weed. I mean, Kai Stewart was, I know he smoked. A lot of fighters, I think, smoke weed, though.
But I just took a bong rip before the interview.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
It'd be like, but no, see me, it's like, I go for 2.5-3 mile runs.
Okay.
I eat what I want. I my diet, like, because I used to be 300 pounds.
Okay. So you were like, I don't know if you know Marcus Suarez?
Yeah.
Young Merc, he had a body transformation when he was overweight and stuff like that.
I need the help to get rid of the man boobies. I can't get rid of them, but, you know, that's the only thing I got I can't get rid of. But, like, I've got down to 185 before, no problem. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, that's the thing I tell people. You shouldn't have to suffer, especially we're fighters, bro. Don't give up what you love. Like, obviously, don't eat pizza every fucking day.
But if you want to eat,
see, I'll eat it once a week because it's like, it's just too much grease sometimes. I like the deep dish, so, you know, it's a little bit too much grease, but that's why I do it once a week. It's like, but don't like, bro, Tijuana Flats, I'd be going to Taco Tuesday and Burrito Thursday. Be like, you ain't going to cut that stuff out. Be like, you just got to work harder. I go to the gym. I go to training. And then there's times where I'll go running after I go get home from either one of the two. So that'll be a third thing on top of it.
So are you constantly training even when you're not fighting?
Yeah, so like, I honestly miss being in the gym right now. It's just like, but I feel like by next week I should be good. I got new shoes that I read up that are specifically good for them. I got Asics that are supposed to be great for plantar fasciitis. And honestly, I don't feel crap now when I walk in them. So it's like, I think I should be back by next week. And I'll do just some training outside, and then I'll be back in the gym probably in like a week.
And so that's something that with your feet, that's a problem with your feet.
Yeah, it's like, especially people who have flat feet, they get it more.
Uh-huh. So,
like, the bottom of your heel, it'll feel like you're getting stabbed constantly. And it's like, freshly, when you get fresh out in the morning and you put your foot on the ground, it's like literally like you just stepped on a bunch of glass.
Damn. So, and it's just something that kind of comes back and forth.
Yeah, like, the last time I had it, I would have to say it was like 7-8 months ago. So it's not frequent, but sometimes people get it, like, this is the longest I've had it so far, but people can have it up into like 2 months. Like, my coach, he's had it for, I think, the last month and a half, but he does construction and all that, so, you know, he's always on his feet 24/7 lifting heavy crap. So it's like, people who are constantly on their feet, like runner, people who constantly run, like those people who do like the 15Ks or whatever they're called, they get they get plantar fasciitis bad.
Now, do you think the ultimate athlete is the athletes that like compete like single competition compared to like team sports? I think it's, to me, it's more of a pure athlete when you just compete one-on-one.
Well, see, for me, the one-on-one competitions, it shows your strength and what you're best at. When you have the team, you have to, you know, there's no I in team. You could be that asshole who does what he wants. But, you know, when you're a team, you're supposed to make everybody look good. So it's like, the singles is better to show what and who you are. Now, if you want to show that you can be a team player, then yeah, you know, team sports. Or, you know, you can always be that asshole on the team sport and be like, yeah, I'm Tom Brady. I'm the best in the world.
So what would you kind of advice would you give to somebody trying to get into any one of these sports?
Take your time. Don't rush into it. Especially all you. This is for all you street fighters out there. I used to be one of you. I'm from Florida. I'm from Deep Side. So if y'all from Florida, you know where that. You know where that's at. Don't think your street fighting is gonna do you any good. Make sure, especially for MMA. Boxing, you might be okay. You might get away, get lucky. But MMA, that ain't gonna work. They gonna see and then they gonna take your ass down and then give you the little ground and pound and the referee's gonna call it. I tell everybody now, take your time. Make sure, like, you don't have to be 10 months into jiu-jitsu, 10 months in wrestling if you want to take a match. Just make sure you are actually trained and do it right. Just don't go out there with 3 weeks of actual jiu-jitsu training and think that you're going to win, because you're not going to win.
Now, does everybody typically have jiu-jitsu training in the MMA?
No, I'll tell you honestly, there's a lot of people who go out there and they have a little bit of wrestling. They've done jiu-jitsu classes, but no, like, see me, I have one stripe on my white belt. So it's like, I've done it. I hate it. I hate jiu-jitsu. Don't get me wrong. Because if I'm going to be MMA fighting, yes, it's going to be helpful. But right now I'm focusing on trying to go pro boxing first. So it's like me doing the jiu-jitsu classes is just a distraction. And also it might hurt me and cause me to derail going pro in boxing. So, but a lot of people, I personally know a few people who only go to classes but don't really do jiu-jitsu who fight. And they're like, they're decent. They've like 3-2 or 1-1. Like, it's like, but it showed, like, in those matches that they lost, it showed that their jiu-jitsu was crap and their wrestling was crap.
Now, what's the typical process of going from amateur to a pro boxer?
So normally, like, my coach doesn't want me to go pro until I have a certain amount of wins. So I've been taking the matches in the cage, but I'm going to start probably in November. I'm going to get my my USA boxing permit so I can actually do the official competitions like that. And I'm going to test myself out. And I told myself if I get 3 straight wins with that, I'll go pro.
So typically it's a certain amount of matches under your belt, amateur, and then – does your fight manager gotta help, or promoter gotta help you get to that point?
Yeah, well, you can do it by yourself. Like MMA fighters, you don't really even need to technically have fights to go pro, which I think is kind of stupid. You can go you can go in there and be a pro, just to say you're a pro, and then go fight pro.
Yeah,
and go get your life destroyed in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But, boxing, it's a little harder. They actually, like, bare knuckle, they want to know that you actually had fights, you have
experience. Yeah, bare knuckle wants you to be a pro already, yeah.
Yeah, like, the one guy who died, that's the reason why. Like, if you're an amateur, you can go in there if you have, like, 5-6
fights. Who's the guy that died? Was it a bare knuckle fight?
Yeah, it was back in, like, 2000, I think.
That wasn't BKFC, was it?
No, it was. Yeah.
It was?
Yeah, it was, but guy's name, he got hit and he fell and his head directly hit the mat like that. He woke up and he was fine, and then he went back to the hospital like the next day, and I think it was like a week later he died. He succumbed to his head injury.
Man. And that's the thing I noticed about Bare Knuckle when I first started watching it. It looked like a lot of some guys that just come off the street and thought they could just bare knuckle. And seeing the training videos of these guys, I mean, these guys train ridiculously.
Yeah, now they changed that. That's why, like, I could have been in there right away.
Uh-huh.
Did the tryouts that they had in Fort Lauderdale. It was their second actual tryouts. I got
so picked. He wasn't a pro fighter. He was just a guy who just got into BKFC and then got killed.
Yeah, I think he only had a few like actual amateur MMA fights when he got hit, fell wrong, and next day he woke up. He wasn't feeling good. Went to the hospital, and a week later he passed away.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I remember hearing about that. I was just like, damn. Do I want to do bare knuckle now, or do I want to wait?
Why is it that Florida seems like to be the haven of all fighters? What's the deal with that?
I can tell you, nobody else wants to. We're all heartbroken, angry men and women.
Because, I mean, all the fighters either moved to Florida or they all just live in there already.
It's because the best Floridas really do be coming out of Florida. It's because the natural-born killer, like, back when you could actually fight people on the streets and they wouldn't shoot you, you would see fights, you'd be like, damn, this should be a pay-per-view. I'm watching Buddy dodge weaving, blah, 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 uppercut, Buddy gets stumbled, then Buddy comes back and gets... I'm just like, it's like, bro, it's like, technically it was like watching BKFC before BKFC was out. And it's just now, like, great.
Is there any fighters that you be studying?
So I actually, even though it's like, I have a like hate for this dude. The Juggernaut.
Oh, Lorenzo Hunt.
I like his fighting style. I just hate his cocky attitude. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I like it to a point, but then there's certain parts I'll be like, you strong son of a bitch. Shut up for a second. Relax.
Now, he got some controversy around him, though, right now.
What happened now?
They tried to say he juiced.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean...
I wouldn't doubt it either. That's a big dude, yo.
See, that's the thing, though. I've seen him in person.
Uh-huh.
He's big, but he's not like... I know people who do juice. Like,
yeah.
Gym, like, I train. Not, like, the MMA gym. Like, Crunch Fitness. I know people there who actually do juice. He don't look like them. So... I don't know, but he was fast as fuck. So that's the only thing for me. I was like, how are you like 50-something that fast?
Yeah, because there's some old dudes in Bare Knuckle. Right? Some of these dudes is pushing 40 years old. Like, should there be a cutoff age for a fighter?
See, I always say this. If you're like Tony Ferguson now, there should be a cutoff age. But if you're winning, like, what's his name? Houston Alexander?
Okay, yeah.
You can keep going. You good. Like, but if you got, like, for me, I say this. If you're over, like, 48, 47, and you got three consecutive losses, it's got to be goodbye. You can go fight somewhere else, but you can't fight for us.
Yeah.
That's just how I think. But honestly, it's like, also, it's like, some people get a little late start.
Yeah.
Start at like 38, 39, so they haven't had all the damage and they can take the damage still. So it'll be like, depends if that person started late, then you can let them go to 50. But 50 should honestly be like, ain't Mike Tyson like 50-something, 60-something?
I don't know, but George Foreman had the belt at 50, so. He boxed till he came back, boxed at age 50, won the belt. So, I mean, you can't say that a guy can't box or fight at 50. If George Foreman did it.
All right. Well, then 60 will have to be my... I forgot about that. Damn. And then...
But,
what's... Isn't Hunt... Like... He's a double champ still, right? And he's like...
No, he lost to Terrell.
Oh, did he give up his other titles?
He lost the match. I think he messed up his shoulder or something in the match. Like he fell on his shoulder and like messed up his shoulder, and he lost the match. That was versus Mick Terrell. So he's only got one belt still, I think. Now, and he's pushing. He's pushing. He's 41 right now. He's 4 years young. Yeah, he's 4 years younger than me. He's pushing. I mean, he's pushing it.
Wait, what? You didn't. You look like you're in your 30s, bro.
Yeah, I'm 45. So I mean, he's 11-2 though. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at in bare knuckle. He got a lot of wins under his belt.
I was gonna say, he's definitely better in bare knuckle than he is MMA.
I've noticed that with a lot of some of these cats have actually been better in bare knuckle. Mike Perry is better in bare knuckle than he was in MMA.
It's just like I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel like I'm better in stand up than I am MMA. It's we like to stand up and bang. We don't want to crotch sniff. Just be honest. It's that like that's like the one thing everybody I can feel like everybody hates is a crotch sniffer. That's why they do boxing or BKFC.
And a lot of crotch sniffing going on in MMA.
Yeah, too much.
I gotta ask you, man. I saw a clip where at the end of the clip you said, "And come to see a dead body." You seem like you could do stand up comedy too.
Oh, bro! No, everybody tells me I should do comedy. Don't get me. Everybody tells me like whenever like the last guy I was gonna fight when we had the interview, I go, "You cut, make sure you show up, you cousin fucker." And and the interview company, the guy who owns it, texted me saying, "Bro, I spit out my water. I couldn't stop laughing." You know, it's like. I feel like I'm funny, but only when I'm stoned.
Yeah, because you said something like, "Yeah, come to see a dead body" or something like that. I like this guy. He remind me of my guy Byron Brooks, who does stand up comedy, but he also does jiu-jitsu and whatnot.
I told him, "Come see a dead body," and
see a dead body. Yeah,
I ended up getting hit in the nuts, and I was the one who looked like a dead body. Hold on. I gotta put the phone.
That's crazy. So, when do you think your next fight's gonna be? You said.
So I have one that's scheduled for October 5th with Made Men Promotions, and it's actually against Jake Paul's bodyguard, Andrew Garcia.
Okay.
So that's October 5th, and then
is it?
Yeah. It's going to be
and that's a boxing match.
Yes, sir. So me and him are going to.
Is he any good? Jake Paul's manager? His bodyguard?
His bodyguard looks decent, but it's nothing like I'm actually worried about. Like I've been watching his page and it's like I go to two. I'm going to start going back to this one place, Contenders Boxing. And I'm going to. I have a few friends who train, like they have a house gym. He's called Alpha Breed Boxing, and I'm going to start training over there with them in Miami.
That's what's up. That's going to be a treasure. Who did you, now, with the Jake Paul and Mike Perry fight, who did you have going into that?
Man, I had Mike fucking Perry. Jake Paul would have knocked Mike Perry down at least once, but I didn't expect it to be like that. Mike made me lose some damn money, that son of a bitch.
Oh, you bet some money on Mike Perry?
I did.
You know, I'm a huge Redneck Madell fan, so as you know, I can't stand Mike Perry.
I mean, I like Redneck too. But it's like, man, Mike Perry is the dude though. It's like he's like that inner your inner you that'd be like, never quit. Keep it going.
Yeah, I mean he is. He's undefeated. He's doing his thing, but it's just it reeks me of how a guy could be the face of an organization, a fighting organization, and doesn't have a belt.
Yeah, you know, I do think they're kind of protecting him a little
They
bit.
Are protecting him, man. Not a little bit. They protected him a lot of it.
Is he fired or is he not fired?
I don't know if that's legit, man. I mean,
because we know
maybe Conor... I need to message Brian Scotia and ask him, like, is this legit or not? Brian brought it up. David Feldman was supposed to talk about it, but I didn't see what David Feldman talked about it. Conor said he is fired, so.
I texted Raymond. I don't know if you know the
Raymond Pell. Oh, there we lost him. I think we lost him. I think his connection dropped or the phone cut off. But let's see if we can get him back. Wait, I'm gonna wait a couple minutes. See if we can get him back. So that was Warren Panasco. Check him out. Got a new fight coming up soon. He said October 10th. And I think we might have him back right here. Let's see. Yeah, but normally we're talking about just bare knuckle, but I'm not obligated to just be KFC or bare knuckle or anything of that nature. And I still don't see him. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. And we're going to make sure we clip up these clips and get out here and promote this Warren interview. And I want to thank him for hitting me up about the interview. Very interesting conversation. And we out.